Hello, it's another episode of Today in Africa Yesterday. I am Femi.
And I am Lola.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode on Africa Yesterday. On this episode, we'll talk about the existence of Africans on the land area we call Liberia today, the movement of the American Colonization Society to form Liberia as a suitable spot for migrating freeborn blacks as well as black slaves, and a story about a dictatorship rule in Liberia before our eventual freedom. Let's get into it. Liberia today is the country that covers an area of 101,369 square kilometers and has a population of about 5 million people. Its borders are defined by Guinea to the north, Sierra Leone to the northwest, Ivory Coast to the east, and Atlantic Ocean to the south-southwest. The inhabitation of human in Liberia has begun since the 12th century, and it has been a part of Kingdom Koya from 1450 to 1898. Civilization in Liberia moved from the north, that is the inland of present-day Liberia, and moved towards the wetter parts of Liberia, that's towards the Atlantic Ocean in the south-south. Skills such as cotton spinning, cloth weaving, iron smelting, sorghum cultivation, and political institutions from Mali and Tonga empires were adopted as people migrated from the inland of Liberia to the south-south region towards the Atlantic Ocean. And the reason for this movement, or what we call migration at this point in time, was to enhance human existence, right? So these people that moved towards the south-south region, that was towards the Atlantic Ocean, looked for a space where there were more of water to sustain them. That was the space at the Atlantic Ocean. The people of Liberia also began intercontinental trading with the Portuguese, Dutch, and British, mainly with the Europeans, in the late 14th century, and they did this through to the late 17th century. And what was mostly exported from Liberia, as we know today, is the people of Liberia then traded mainly with other Western African countries like Cape Verde at that time, which is now known as Cape Verde, and Gold Coast, which is now known as Ghana. Apart from that, some Aram slave traders from the north captured some captives and took them to the North and East Africa, and they sold them as slaves. The Melaguetta pepper grains, which, you know, gave them the name of Costa da Pimenta, that Portuguese named them at that time, that meant pepper coast. But it was later known as the Green Coast due to the Melaguetta pepper grains that was very abundant in Liberia then. The trading system then was a trade by barter system, and what the Portuguese, you know, mostly compensated them for their resources was basically a lot of more civilized iron tools. So they traded this with them and they got pepper grains in return. In the early 19th century, there was a movement in America to settle more freeborn blacks and black slaves in Africa. And this was due to the fact that Americans believed that blacks would not be able to thrive as much as they would if they were in their continent than they were in America, because of racial discrimination and the denial of civil, religious, social rights, and other forms of discrimination from the white American supremacists. So the African Colonization Society was developed so that they could move freeborn blacks and black slaves to a space in Africa where they can, you know, feel among themselves and not be rather racially discriminated. So they moved freeborn blacks and black slaves from America to Liberia because it was the closest point of Africa from America at that time. The American Colonization Society started sending these blacks over to Liberia in 1822, and by 1867, the American Colonization Society had succeeded in migrating over 13,000 blacks to Liberia. The American Colonization Society started to send these blacks over to Liberia in 1822, and over the space of 45 years, which was by 1867, the American Colonization Society has succeeded in migrating over 13,000 blacks to Liberia. But this number wasn't exactly, you know, true after some months or, you know, some time where these blacks have gotten to Liberia. This was due to the mortality rates from tropical diseases, which reduced the number of people that were alive after some years of habiting Liberia. When the Americans got to Liberia, they did not associate with a specific ethnicity in Liberia. Rather, they identify themselves as Americo-Liberians because of where they come from, and mostly intermarried within the already established community, just to, you know, blend into the community. But regardless, Americo-Liberians repeated the racist culture of the Americans in Liberia. You know, they were used to the system of having a supremacy group of people and a relegated group of people. So when they got to Liberia, they quickly chose their space and repeated the racist culture of the Americans in Liberia. Because they had a better educational background, they believed themselves different from the indigenous people of Liberia, as well as very well superior to them culturally and educationally. Therefore, they treated the locals as Americans as treated them. So they took over the power in government and they, you know, totally segregated them from having some certain rights and speaking up in the society. They were prohibited from sexual relationship and marriages to the Americo-Liberians. They had no voting rights, so they had no say in the government. They had no decision to make in the government. They could not speak unless spoken to. All these are just screaming white supremacy, American supremacy, and what exactly they have gone through when they were in America. Nevertheless, few educated people were able to escape these restrictions and attain some political heights. As we all know, depending on your educational background, then was really an edge into, you know, penetrating the government. So even though the locals in Liberia, you know, were relegated and totally segregated from the Americo-Liberians of Liberia, they don't have. So that's basically it for those that still struggled to gain a certain level of education, were able to push through and escape the restrictions that were, you know, imposed upon on the locals. And I think those people were actually people that meant a deal to the government or had a relationship to do with one of the American Liberians. So these give them an edge and an opportunity that the locals. So that's basically it for the colonization era of Liberia as we know it today.
And they were richer than the indigenous people of Liberia because they had established plantations and businesses. So due to these facts, they had all of these and they were able to dominate the indigenes of Liberia. The Liberian colonization took place in the Americo-Liberian rule between 1847 to 1980, when the state of Liberia was dominated by minority of blacks, colonists, and their descendants that gave this group of people a name, and that's the Americo-Liberians. So this group of people were mixed race because they got married within their groups. During this period, Liberia was dominated by two political parties. There's the Liberian Party and the True Wing Party. The Liberian Party was later changed to the Republican Party, and the political party was supported primarily by the mixed African American from the poorer background, while the True Wing Party had most of their followers, which were richer blacks. During this period, the Liberian government suffered from corrupt officials who grossly embezzled their funds, and this really affected the Liberian economy. After 1927, the League of Nations decided to investigate the accusation that Liberian government falsely sold indigenous people as control labor, or let's say slaves. All of this really affected the Liberian economy. So what happened to the Liberians during the World War? During the World War One, Liberia did not join the war until 4th August 1917, and they were minimally active in the war itself. And as a norm, being a part of the Allied nation, Liberia usually received liberty loans from the United States, but after the end of the war, they were not able to receive these loans as before. So this affected the economy also. In April 1918, the Liberian government seized German assets in the country, and this resulted to the further economic disruption in Liberia. And that was because the German companies decided to retaliate, and what they could do at that particular point was to displace their Liberian businesses in the local economy. So this affected the Liberian economy. During the World War II, Liberia wasn't fully involved until January 1944. And before Liberia started their official military involvement, the nation participated in the war for 2 years under the Terms of Defense Agreement with the United States. During this period, the Liberian government suffered from corrupt officials who grossly embezzled their funds, and this really affected the Liberian economy. The Liberian colonization took place in the Americo-Liberian rule between 1847 to 1980, when the state of Liberia was dominated by minority of blacks, colonists, and their descendants that gave this group of people a name, and that's the Americo-Liberians. So this group of people were mixed race because they got married within their groups. And during this period, Liberia was dominated by two political parties. There's the Liberian Party and the True Wing Party. The Liberian Party was later changed to the Republican Party, and the political party was supported primarily by the mixed African American from the poorer background, while the True Wing Party had most of their followers, which were richer blacks. All of this really affected the Liberian economy. So what happened to the Liberians during the World War? During the World War One, Liberia did not join the war until 4th August 1917, and they were minimally active in the war itself. In April 1918, the Liberian government seized German assets in the country, and this resulted to the further economic disruption in Liberia. And that was because the German companies decided to retaliate, and what they could do at that particular point was to displace their Liberian businesses in the local economy. So this affected the Liberian economy. After 1927, the League of Nations decided to investigate the accusation that Liberian government falsely sold indigenous people as control labor, or let's say slaves. And as a norm, being a part of the Allied nation, Liberia usually received liberty loans from the United States, but after the end of the war, they were not able to receive these loans as before. So this affected the economy also, and it's really disrupted the economy. So they were trying to survive and trying to get back to their fit. In 1942, rubber was an important commodity, and the Liberia assured the United States and allies of all natural rubbers needed. The presence of the American military boosted the economy of the Liberia, and because of this, because Liberia allowed the US to use its territory as a bridgehead for the transportation of soldiers and war supplies, By the end of World War II, arguments sprung up that the World War II infrastructure developments did not affect the social and political struggles in Liberia positively. How did the Americo-Liberia rule end? After the Cold War, President William R. Tolbert Jr. made a policy to suppress the opposition, but this led to the dissatisfaction of the government's plans to raise the price of rice, which led to demonstration. This took place in the streets of Monrovia, and about 70 people lost their lives during this incident. So this happened 1979. After this incident, riots sprung up, which led to a coup d'etat in April 1980, where Tolbert was killed and several of his ministers were executed, and this marked the end of the American rule in the country. Liberia had their first civil war between 1989 to 1996 and their second civil war between 1997 to 2003, and before the women of Liberia could come out to protest against violence and fight for peace. And that was, they organized the Women in Peace Building Network, and that was when they decided to say no to violence and say yes to peace. So this prompted the end to the second civil war. So that's all we have on today's episode of Africa Yesterday. Hey guys, thank you for listening to another episode on Africa Yesterday. Please subscribe to us everywhere you listen to podcasts. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, do well to give us a 5-star review. And also don't forget to recommend us to your friends. Well, that's the only way you can keep us talking. Goodbye.
We say a very big thank you to our crew, Rachel Ononre and Femi Fadawansi. They have been of great resource to this team, ensuring we deliver quality to you guys. Thank you very much.